Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, Heritage Radio Network has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Hearst Ranch, grass-fed beef raised on California's Central Coast. Available seasonally at select Whole Foods markets. Learn more at hearstranch.com.
Welcome to The Grape Nation, your weekly wine journey. For this week's show, we attended the Union Grand Cru Bordeaux tasting in New York City on Jan 22nd. There were over 130 wineries from Bordeaux showcasing their 2021 vintage. We spoke with five different producers from different growing regions on the right and left banks in Bordeaux. We'll get some insight into the vintage, the wines, climate, challenges of the vintage, ageability, and more. I'm your host, Sam Ben Ruby. Stay with us for The Grape Nation on the Heritage Radio Network. We bring wine to the people. Our guests in order are Ronan Laborde, CEO of Chateau Clinet in Pomerol, Olivier Bernard, proprietor of Domaine de Chevalier in Pessac-Lignan, Matthew Bordis, General Manager of Chateau Lagrange in Saint-Julien, Coralie Bernard, Director of Chateau Girard in Sauterne, and Alexander Van Beek, Director General of Chateau Gicourt in Margaux. I'm here with Ronan Laborde from Chateau Clinet. We are at the New York Bordeaux tasting, the Union Grand Cru Bordeaux. And everyone is showing their 21 vintages, except, of course, for the Sauterne standard of year. All right, so Ronan, tell me about the 21 vintage for Clinet.
Well, it's a vintage that started early in Pomerol. You know, in the
earlier than normal?
In the recent era, we had experienced more warmer vintages. So that's why we had the bud burst, which started early and exposed our vineyard and our vines to the frost in early April. Hopefully, we've done some improvements since the last catastrophe.
Did the frost affect any growth or?
Not really damaging the vines, but just fearing us once again. But that's an early start, 21. And then we had up and downs, but good flowering. And then the summer didn't really start before September. We had a cloudy and slightly more rainy summer than usual. And it's an important time in our vineyard, June, July, August. So we had our summer starting in September, late. So we picked when the maturity came, and that came late.
October?
Late September for the Merlot. You know, in Pomerol at Chateau Clinet, we are on early maturing territory, but this vintage started early, finished late, so it was a long maturing vintage, 21.
Interesting. When you look at 21 and compare it to the last few vintages, which some have been wonderful, how does it set itself apart?
It's a vintage which is less gourmand, less tannic, less sweet than the previous. 2018, 19, and 20. So it's more in comparison with vintages such as 17, 14, 12, 11. Vintages which reach, I would say, a lower level of maturity that are more juicy, very aromatic, nicely aromatic in their yields. And the good thing is that they are early drinking wines. You don't need to cellar them too much to enjoy
them.
What
about ageability and longevity? So you could open them up
early,
right, close to the vintage, but you can lay them down.
True.
Are you confident of this vintage?
Absolutely, yeah. In the contemporary times in Bordeaux, in Pomerol, there's been strong efforts everywhere, from the vineyard to the winery works to the aging. So we made wines which are definitely more precise. So that's why they are very aromatic, nicely aromatic, lots of precision there. And they are approachable younger. But it's not because they are approachable younger that they will not age as well as before. So they are very promising for the cellaring. And that's also a wine that people can wait for 7, 10, 20 or 30 years, no problem.
And they will age. It'll only enhance the wine.
True, absolutely.
Talk to me quickly about right bank versus left bank. I mean, how different is it? I mean, you have friends everywhere and you track everything. With, I guess, climate change and a tough vineyard like 21, what was the difference in being on the right bank?
Don't forget something is that there are not so many, there are differences and not so many differences between right bank and left bank. On the right bank, we have a different split in grape variety because we have cooler soils, limestone in Saint-Emilion, clay in Pomerol. So that's why we grow a lot of Merlot. And so we have a maturity that come nearly at the same days as on the left bank, where they have clay soils, you know, the stones, and they grow because the soil is warmer. Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a slower maturing grape variety.
Right. And those stones heat up. So a lot of things that you can't control, ratings, vintage, weather, and all that. 2021, how do you think will shake out as far as ratings? And will that affect pricing?
Well,
do your best in the field and in the cellar, but then you have to worry about how the market looks at it. What do you think?
Well, it's a vintage which is coming after a lot of very strong and powerful vintages, which made us very happy because, you know, in our mind, we've been running after the maturity for ages, for centuries. So when we have a high level of maturities, we're happy. But when we talk to the people, the customers, what they are looking for in Bordeaux is vintages like 21. So our new challenge nowadays is to keep the freshness. And 21 is a vintage which has a lot of freshness, a lot of acidity, and that will please our customers for sure.
So when we look back at everything we discussed, cold early in the vintage, later, heat and all that, are we at a climate change thing, yes, or things are not happening vintage by vintage consistently? I mean, is it that yet?
There's a lot of data, and probably too many data make us think that there is a huge changes. For sure, in the recent era, the winter were warmer, so it exposed our vines to frost in April, in the spring.
But all different effects.
But in the past, people were less informed and probably not less worried about what could happen with the climate.
Right.
So we've been very lucky living in an era with a lot of informations, a lot of money also,
right,
that could be put to improve our capacity to protect from the climate and to produce better wines as ever, the best for the customers.
It's a data world now.
Absolutely,
work up. Well, I want to thank Ronan Laborde from Clinet for talking to us about the 21 vintage. I wish you good luck with this.
Thank you, Sam.
Vintage in the market, and I hope to speak to you again. Thank you. I'm with Olivier Bernard from one of my favorite wineries, Domaine de Chevalier. I have to tell you, Olivier, I probably have a vertical going back a dozen years, but that doesn't matter. All right, so tell me about the 2021 vintage
for
Chevalier.
So 21, in the recent vintage, we have seen quite often the global warming arriving with a quite warm vintage, like 16, 18, 19, 20, 22, but not 21.
So
21 was
21.
Quite cold during the summer, and we have that's for the reason we had a lovely white vintage, because when the cold season is there during the summer is good for the freshness of the white. And we had a lovely September who have done a great maturity for the red. And the red have been saved by September when the white were really done by this not very warm summer. And so the white has this incredible freshness, acidity, minerality, precision.
All
I love precision.
You love in a wine.
Yes.
When did you pick?
We pick early September. Early September. And the red have been done at the end of September and October for the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet was the latest? Sauvignon?
Yes.
So you describe minerality, all the great things in wine.
Yes.
Tell me specifically about 2021 compared to the past three vintages, which were wonderful.
You will not tell that to anybody, but I prefer the white 21 than 20 or 19 or 18.
It was perfect for white.
It's
well, you are very
white.
Well known for your white wines.
Yes. But
I mean,
to be honest with you, sometimes you know you need, you love to have a great freshness like 21 for the white. But sometimes, to be honest, I like also to have a 22 or 20, quite a warm vintage, because
right.
That give a full body to the white. The white 21 has this lovely freshness, lovely definition, lovely precision. But sometimes I love also to have a white with
the red
great
won't.
Maturity and more
yes,
charming,
the
a little bit
won't.
More burgundy
yes.
than a 21.
Style.
Yes.
Sure. Now, you had mentioned the differences in the last three or four vintages.
Yes.
You mentioned climate change.
Yes.
Is climate change consistent enough, or do you understand it?
Yeah.
You know, where for the future,
yes.
you're going to know
yes.
how to farm and
yes.
react in the vineyard.
We are thinking about the new plantation, especially for the white, to protect the white from the warm. So
spice.
We have to choose the right piece of vine of the vineyard. The cold area has to really go for the white in the future. It was not so important 30 years ago, but in the future, the cold area must be only used for white. Because we need this freshness.
So tell me about the wine. You're doing Sémillon and
Sauvignon first. Sauvignon 70% here and 30% Sémillon.
Sémillon.
The Sauvignon for Cassette L'Oignon gives the structure of the wine, like a Cabernet Sauvignon for the red. And the Sémillon, like the Merlot for the red, gives this roundness, this body, this full body we like in the wine.
So in a vintage like 21,
yes,
you may have answered this indirectly. Was it harder to manage the white grape or the red grape?
No, it was harder to manage the red grapes.
It was.
Because the white was quite easy.
Right, as you mentioned, which I just wanted to make sure.
It was a really a challenge to make a great red in 21, when it was quite easy to make a great white. In 22, this is the opposite. It was quite a challenge to do white 22, but 22 red was quite easy.
I want to thank Olivier Bernard, Somebody Chevalier, for giving us a little insight on the 21 vintage.
Yeah.
Not the easiest, not the toughest, but kind of a split
like
for you. The whites were wonderful, and the reds figured out how to make them a good wine.
And if you want to know a little bit more, you have to come home.
Yes.
I'm waiting for you.
Well, I'll be there soon enough. So now I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to taste your wine. So I'm with Matthew Bordes. Or how would you pronounce it?
At Chateau Lagrange, Matthew Bordes from Chateau Lagrange.
Matthew, I had the pleasure of meeting you at a tasting, a sit-down tasting, but we're at the Big Bordeaux tasting, and beautifully there's hundreds of vineyards here. Everyone is pouring the 2021. Tell me about the 21 vineyard for Lagrange.
So this vintage, you have to know first that it's one of the coolest vintage in Bordeaux over the last 20 years. It was cool but dry. And we had a chance to have, during the growing season, most of the month with temperature above the average of the last 25 years. And regarding the weather conditions, the rainfall, below the average of the last 25 years.
Wow, yeah.
We were a little bit scared at the moment of the harvest because of the coolest of the vintage, the level of alcohol was not so high and we waited for the ripeness. Fortunately, the 4th of October, we had a turning point. The Indian summer came at Bordeaux in Saint-Julien and we succeeded in picking up the grapes later than that, and we will finish almost 10-12 days later. You must have to know from the 4th of October up to the 11th of October, during this week, most of the Cabernet Sauvignon lost 30% of their weight, so to make more concentrated grapes. Finally, we decided not to extract too much, because we have a good ripeness, but not so good as 2022 or even 2016.
Well, I was going to say, compared to the past few vintages.
Oh, it's difficult.
I mean, I know every vintage is different.
Yeah.
But what stands out?
Because it's a cool year. I mentioned this wine as
now a cool vintage does what to the grapes? More acidity, less?
Yes, you can have more acidity, less ripeness of the phenolic compounds as well. So you have to take care when you extract, not to keep the good harmony and the well-balanced wine. If you extract too much, you can have some green and harsh tannins. So you have to take care.
So you said October was an Indian summer. Climate change, is that extending the seasons or really hasn't been consistent yet?
There is no rules, honestly.
Right. You have to be prepared for anything, right?
But we were extremely lucky having this turning point on the 4th of October. If not, the wine you will taste today won't be the same.
Right.
Would not that be the same?
I expect that. So a lot of people said stressful, tough vintage. Do you see it that way or you're prepared?
We had a regarding the cold weather, but also some rain in the spring. It was a little bit difficult to manage the mildew in Bordeaux. Maybe that we have 1/3 of the vineyard managing in organic work farming and 2/3 in a sustainable way. And we had no difficulties to manage the milieu at La Grange. But I know that some of my colleagues have some. But you must know that it was also one of the lowest quantity ever in Bordeaux and also ever at La Grange. I had a 34 hectoliters per hectare, which is one of the lowest ever.
Tell me about ageability and longevity. I mean, are the 21s drinkable now?
Yeah.
And can you put them down?
What's surprising the most is how silky and how approachable is the wine already. Even if I had 84% Cabernet Sauvignon in my wine, which is the record ever at La Grange, the wine is extremely round, silky and approachable. So I think it will have one of the largest window of tasting of the last few years. You can start to drink after 4 or 5 years, and maybe you can keep it for 30 years or 35 years at least.
That's great. I mean, we don't live our lives for ratings, but do you feel this vintage will be recognized as a good vintage, inevitably with good ratings, or because it was a tough mixed vintage? What do you think?
There is 2 points. The first point is a shadow vintage, because 2021 is in between one of the best vintage ever. 2018, 2019, 2020, 2022. That's the first one, which is not easy for this wine. But of course, 20 years ago, if we had produced such a level of wine, it will be one of the best we have ever had. So it will be good or very good vintage, but less good than 2020 or 2022. We have to be fair.
You needed a crappy vintage last year, but better you have good vintage.
It's a nice shadow vintage.
I want to thank Mathieu Bord from Chateau Lagrange. It's good to see you again, and thank you for spending a few minutes. It's always insightful. And I'm looking forward to tasting the wine when I shut this machine off.
Hearst Ranch, in collaboration with Whole Foods Market, is proud to be the presenting sponsor of The Farm Report, a special HRN series in collaboration with the National Young Farmers Coalition. Tune in each week to hear from farmers, policymakers, organizers, and food advocates about all the ways the Farm Bill directly impacts our lives, whether we realize it or not. They'll break down farm policy and talk to young farmers about what hangs in the balance for them as another farm bill gets made. Join the coalition to shift power and change policy for the next generation of growers and land stewards. The future of good food depends on it. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, I'm here with Coralie Bernard from Chateau Girard.
Girard.
All right, so we're here at the Bordeaux tasting in New York for the 21 vintage. Tell me about the 21 vintage in Girard.
In Girard, so we didn't make any 21 vintage because of the frost. We had a late frost, late mid-April, and so we didn't have any wine in 21. So we didn't make any 21.
So what are you pouring here today?
2016.
So my question is, I know it was a very difficult vintage for Sauternes, right? Were you one of the few wineries that did not make wine, or there were a handful?
In 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, no wine. At Chateau Girard, no wine in 21.
From anyone?
Us? No.
Yeah.
But yes, Chateau Renvigno here.
But there were other wineries.
Yes. Yes.
So walk me through what happened. Was it frost?
Frost.
And it was so extensive, the frost?
We didn't have any grapes on the vineyards. Because the frost arrived late April, and the vines were already far in the growing season, and so the frost arrived, and then we didn't have any grapes on the vines.
Can you remember, was there a last time where there was no vintage?
18 for us.
2018? This is a dumb question, but I'm curious.
But that was hell in 2018.
Was 21 or 18 worse, or different circumstances?
Both are bad for us.
So when do you make the decision you can't make wine? You make it early on because of the frost, right?
Yes.
Is that April?
The frost was in April, but now we're trying to protect our vineyard with the frost. So we buy some big fan to try to avoid to get that production, not flat production every year.
Do you think that will do it?
We'll see. Hopefully.
Have other vineyards put that in place?
Yes.
And they were able to...
Yes. I think Renvigno has some 21 because of that, because they were protected. They had some protection for the frost.
Do we look at all of these circumstances as climate change? Or it's hard to say.
It's
every year. There's no pattern,
no.
Right?
No. Yeah, no. There's no... I don't know. We cannot... I don't know if it's... We can talk about the global warming, but...
Not yet.
No, I think so.
While we're here, tell me about 22 and 23.
It's good vintage. 22 was a challenging vintage because it was a really hot vintage. So at the beginning, we had some passerillage on the grapes, and then the botrytis arrived late. So the botrytis was late, but it was beautiful.
What is late for the botrytis to arrive?
We had to wait until mid-October.
Okay.
Voilà. Yeah, it's late. And 23 was a very good vintage, so far.
So at least the last vintage you can look back at was good, because it seems like two of the past three before that
was
very dry.
And a normal production, I will say, so it should be good.
All right, I want to thank Coralie from Chateau Girard. An interesting story. You know, as we go around and talk to wineries, you're the only person that didn't make wine, as far as who I'm talking. There may be a few others, yeah. So thank you, and I'm happy 22, 23, you know, worked out. Thank you.
Yes.
So we are with Alexander Van Beek from Chateau Girard. Alexander, we're at the big tasting in New York. Tell me about the 21 vintage for Giscourt.
So Chateau Giscourt is the third classified growth at Margaux. And for us, the 2021 really represents very much the personality of that vintage by really working, have worked the Cabernet Sauvignon. We have up till nearly 70% Cabernet, giving a beautiful multi-layered wine, really driven by this red crunchy fruit. Relating to Cabernet Sauvignon.
Crunchier than normal?
No, the tannins are very tender, because we were really able to get a beautiful maturity on the quality of the tannins on the Cabernet in particular. And therefore we were able to have a much more soaking, softer extraction during the vinification, and having really a beautiful pixel tentacle structure. what gives that precision, what affiliates very much to what Margaux is.
Right.
To have that elegance, that precision, or what we love to feel in our region.
So you just took me through the cellar. Take me back into the vineyard. Was 21 weather-wise or as a vintage a tougher than normal vintage?
Now, it was a vintage that really the cabs really played for us much better the upper game, where the Merlots were nice, but they didn't have the same more fleshy generosity what we found or in the 18 or in the 20. What is lovely of the 21 is you put your nose in it, you know you are in Bordeaux.
So compared to the last three vintages, which have been pretty good, how do you compare?
All of them are good. The difference is nowadays is to find the right vinification, what fits the personality to the vintage. And if you will taste today a 21 compared to a 20, the 21 will be quicker drinkable, and therefore it will have its own mindset related to its personality. And therefore it's definitely a vintage what will a lot of consumers will love to enjoy, because this already in 3-4 years, you decant it, you have an amazing bottle. You don't have to wait for ages.
So half of your vineyards, you're starting to farm organically. Is that true?
It's most of our vineyards, all of them are farmed organically. And for us, Giscours is a big property. In total, we have 400 hectares. We have a lot of forests also. So the forests are integrated,
so
more or less, in the vineyard
sphere.
So you get a whole bio-integration of biomass, what flows in the mornings into your vineyard, and you have a beautiful, yet in a way, a balance of nature, what integrates into the harmony of your viticulture, what you're trying to establish.
How much of those hectares are planted to vineyards?
So from the 400 hectares, 160 are under vineyards in two appellations, around 100 in the appellation Margaux, where we produce the Giscours and the Sirène de Giscours, what's our second wine. And then we also have 60 called under appellation Haut-Médoc. What's the Haut-Médoc de Giscours?
Tell me about this vintage, this wine we just talked about. Tell me about longevity, ageability. You kind of alluded that you could open up and drink it now, the 21, right?
But that doesn't mean that you cannot keep the wine.
That's what I'm asking you.
Today, what's lovely is that we are able to be, also the global warming helped that we have much more Indian summers, where we can really bring the maturity of every single plot and every single varietal to a perfect balance. And therefore, the tannins are much more pixeled and much more delicate. And therefore, we need less oxidation to try to polish those more harsh tannins to make it accessible. And when you're spot on in your maturity, like how we work in our vineyards, is that we go up to 3 times through the old plots, where we harvest all the different ages of the vines individually. So in one plot you will have 3 interpretations, sometimes with 2 weeks in between the young and the old vines, will give you really a spot on quality of the tannins on the right, being on the right maturity.
Well, I'm gonna turn this recording device off.
Thank you,
Alexander Van Beek, and I'm gonna taste some of the wines, okay?
Very nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chateau Clenet, Domaine du Chevalier, Chateau Lagrange, Chateau Gourard, and Chateau Gicourt. Thank you to our engineer Armin and everyone at the Heritage Radio Network. If you have a question, suggestion, wine happening, or event, hit me up at sam@thegrapenation.com. That's sam@thegrapenation.com. Subscribe to the Grape Nation podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods. Leave a review if you like the podcast. We would appreciate that. Follow us on Instagram at SBenRuby and on Twitter, or X now, at BenRuby. You can always use the hashtag TheGrapeNation to find us on both. And we are on Facebook at TheGrapeNation. A quick note from our friends, Wine and Spirits Magazine, celebrated Top 100 Tasting returns to New York on Thursday, February 15th, and we wanted to give the Grape Nation listeners a special discounted rate and access to the event. The Top 100 Tasting offers wine enthusiasts a chance to taste an array of exceptional wines from the magazine's Top 100 Wineries of the Year and speak directly to the producers behind their favorite bottles. To purchase your discounted 20% off ticket, simply visit the Top 100 Tasting Eventbrite page. So that's Eventbrite, the online ticket service. Go to the Top 100 Tasting Eventbrite page, enter the code GrapeNation, and you will get a 20% discount off the ticket. I'm Sam Benrubi, and you've been listening to the Grape Nation on the Heritage Radio Network. The Grape Nation is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.